Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Said we wanted to talk some football tonight. We'll talk some MMA later as we got a big event coming up this weekend. But Pro Football Focus, who I love, we've had a bunch of the guys on the show. We bring in Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus to talk about their new fantasy guide. Ian, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm excited for the MMA card as well. But, you know, fantasy football season never sleeps, even in these, you know, tired days in July. So there's always something to learn on that side of things as well.
Yeah, I had people contacting me actually this week about fantasy football. Like, hey, what are we doing today? It's still going. We're going to draft. All right, let's kind of break it down position by position and get your take on things. And we'll start with the $500 million man in the quarterback position because, look, people in Baltimore love Lamar Jackson. Last year he had this unreal season. Pat Mahomes got hurt. But with depending on what type of scoring system you have with Lamar's rushing ability to go along with it, you guys gave Pat the edge, but how does everything else stack up according to you?
You know, I wouldn't disagree if anyone has, you know, Mahomes over Lamar or Lamar over Mahomes. If you look at our projections specifically, I mean, they're only separated by about 8 fantasy points at the moment. So it's truly those two in that top tier. And personally, I do have Lamar as your fantasy QB1. And it's just, you know, anyone that's watched the game, they know all about that rushing floor. But I just think it's even more ridiculous than people realize. I mean, on his career, Lamar's averaging 61 rushing yards per game. That's the most ever by a quarterback. Great. It's actually 81 yards per game, though, if we only count his starts, because obviously he had those 9 games as a rookie where, you know, coming in a couple plays a game to relieve Joe Flacco. I mean, the only guys averaging more rushing yards per game than Lamar in that 81 yards mark, Zeke Elliott, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, and Chris Carson. So, you know, everyone's talking about Lamar's passing touchdown rate regressing. You know, it just happens when you have that good of a year. It's what happened to Mahomes in 2019. I mean, even throwing out the injury, pickle, even if he would have had his normal amount of attempts, passing touchdowns would have been down. That's probably going to happen to Lamar this year. But again, that rushing floor is just, it's a fantasy cheat code, honestly, that we've barely seen before. So I am back in Lamar Jackson. Well, attempting to become the first QB to repeat as the fantasy QB1 since Dante Culpepper in the early 2000s.
Wow, getting your roll on with Dante. I still love when he looked over at Moss and kind of, whenever you drive by a trucker, he gave him the little honk the horn there, chief, and then just throw it deep. And then he would get his roll on. Those years were fun. Now, all right, so as far as if I could ask you your preference on draft strategy, how soon would you grab a quarterback then? Because, you know, I'm one of those guys, I used to try to get one early. And I, you know, for a time there, I played in a 2-quarterback league, which I feel like it's a must if you're doing that. But, you know, how soon would you grab a quarterback in your drafts?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Lamar's my QB1, but I just haven't found myself getting him in most of these, you know, best ball and offseason drafts I've been doing, because you just go down the list and when there's 20-plus quarterbacks this year you can seemingly talk yourself into. I mean, some of these later-round guys I see myself consistently going back to. Matthew Stafford, I mean, I think we still kind of remember him as the guy that, you know, had to kind of check down to Theo Riddick and throw Golden Tate all these, you know, crossers freaking 20 times a game. But last year they got Daryl Bevell, longtime Seahawks coordinator, coming in. And Stafford just finally got to show off that, you know, rocket launcher for an arm he has. And before he got hurt, only Lamar, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott averaged more fantasy points per game than Stafford. So he brings you a lot of upside in those middle rounds. And just, you know, looking at the other guys too, Joe Burrow, I mean, the guy just had best college football season we've ever seen. You look at the past rookie QB1s in fantasy, and it's been guys that are starting from week 1 on and guys that have at least a little bit of a rushing floor. And Joe Burrow, 27 rushing yards per game at LSU. I mean, that's an Andrew Luck level rushing line. So he's got a little bit of a hidden floor. And if you really want to wait back, I mean, I'm definitely taking my chances on Cam Newton as long as people are treating him as a, you know, QB20 in fantasy land. You even got the likes of Teddy Bridgewater and Gardner Minshew, where I don't think they're going to be in any argument about the top 10 QBs in the league anytime soon. But you take a guy with a bad defense, underrated skill position core, and, you know, those fantasy points start adding up pretty quickly. So, you know, Lamar QB1, but if you guys want to wait and, you know, get your Staffords, Burrow, Bridgewater, Minshew, and, you know, maybe take that more sure thing running back early, that's the route I'm usually going.
Yeah, imagine doing fantasy drafts in Baltimore because Justin Tucker goes before the fifth round sometimes. So, it's if you want Lamar, you're in this city, you're definitely going to have to draft him early because there's too many fans that want to take him. All right, let's get the running back because I feel like things have changed to a degree. There are some people that don't mind waiting and getting some of the mid-tier guys and hoping that someone pops. Year after year, the guys in my auction league know it. If they want Ezekiel Elliott, they're going to have to overpay for him because I'll overpay for him. I just think the consistency, and I love having him on my team, but it's hard for me not to notice what Christian McCaffrey's done the past couple years, especially out of the backfield catching the ball. So when you start looking at the top of this, how do you stack them yourself, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, I got to go McCaffrey as just the overall RB1 again. The guy averaged a full 6 PPR points more than the next highest scoring skill position player last year. And yeah, you know, he's got new quarterback and new system a little bit, but I think those are going to end up being positives. And honestly, like, you just look at the consensus top 5 backs, and we kind of have a question like that about all these guys. You know, McCaffrey with, you know, Joe Brady, Matt Rhule coming in, Saquon Barkley, he's got the Clapper, Jason Garrett calling his plays now. Zeke Elliott, you know, Mike McCarthy coming in. We could see them start to embrace a little more of a pass-first offense. So I think they're still anyone's idea of a top three at the top. Not that small tier drop-off. You got Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook there. I'm not too concerned about Dalvin's holdout potential just based on the new CBA. And we have seen the Minnesota Vikings historically kind of get their guy signed a little bit closer to the season. So, you know, if you want to roll with Zeke as that RB1, I don't disagree. I mean, in these 4 years, RB3, RB6, and RB5 and PPR points per game. So, I mean, the floor is pretty much the ceiling for the guy. But I just think especially in full points per reception formats, I mean, you just see McCaffrey and Saquon, they're flirting with, you know, 100 to even 150 targets a year. And it's just, you know, kind of like how Lamar's rushing workload is a cheat code at the quarterback position. These running backs that have true number one receiver target workloads are pretty much the same thing for the running back position.
All right, so if there was somebody that were going to, because I've seen a couple lists that have Mixon in the top five, maybe right outside it. I've also, you know, Dalvin Cook to me is a guy that if I were going to circle someone in that top 10 that I thought could pop, maybe it's Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook. Is there someone that stands out to you? And not to just sit here and throw too much at you, I was really intrigued by what Kenyon Drake did in Arizona. And am I crazy for liking him coming into this season?
No, man, you just stole my guy.
Okay, sorry.
Drake is he's my RB6, man. I'm a little higher on Drake than most in the industry. And, again, I do think that top five is McCaffrey, Saquon, Zeke, Kamara, Cook, you know, in some order. After that, we have the tier drop-off. But I look at these guys, and, you know, Miles Sanders, Austin Eckler, we have questions about how much that early down work they're going to get. Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, all these guys I think are capable receivers. I mean, even Derrick Henry, just when you look at his yards per target, but unfortunately, all these guys have other backs that are going to be stealing those targets from. Kenyon Drake, after those top five RBs, is, I think, the only guy remaining that has a true chance to get that three-down workload. And, you know, if you look back at Drake's college stats and, you know, his Adam Gase years, no, he hasn't touched, you know, the 200 touches per year, whatever it is, and some people take that as evidence that he can't, you know, have this three-down workload throughout the season. But let's just look at our most relevant split for Drake, and that's the last 8 weeks of last season. Guy cleared 65% snaps in every single game. He worked as the PPR RB4. I know Chase Edmonds and David Johnson were banged up during that stretch, but, you know, when they ship off Johnson and they give Drake an $8.5 million transition tag and only add a seventh-round RB, I mean, I don't mind getting Chase Edmonds a little bit later because he's going as, like, the RB40, so it's kind of an easy handcuff. And, hey, maybe he does have standalone value, but in this incredibly efficient Cardinals rushing game last year, Drake was the lead guy, and when Drake wasn't the lead guy, it was David Johnson was the lead guy. So, again, very few offenses in the league these days have a running back that has that 80% snap, three-down role. We saw that in the Cardinals offense last season. Drake's always been one of these players popping in our PFF kind of premium stats, you know, yards after contact per rush, those types of things. Finally, we have Drake, high-end talent, meeting a high-end system. I'm all in on him this year.
good stuff here. Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus joining us. And before I move on to wide receivers, do any running backs intrigue you this year that are first-year guys or maybe a second-year guy you think could pop?
Yeah, the one guy I'm coming back to a little bit is David Montgomery, because I think he burnt enough people last year that he's just kind of sliding down to this range that it's more or less his floor at this point. I mean, I wouldn't say the guy's going to finish as an RB1, but the Bears didn't add anyone. It's going to be Montgomery and Tariq Cohen in that backfield again. And I mean, Cohen, just, you know, for him to do the things he did in the first 2 years, that was great. But he was the league's single least efficient receiver last year of everyone getting triple-digit targets. So I think Montgomery's pass game role could actually expand a little bit. And he's only costing people, you know, he's going that low RB20 range. So you're pretty much getting him at the floor. And the upside's there. He had these gaudy, you know, yards after contact numbers in college that a lot of people are mocking after a so-so rookie year. But, hey, the guy, like Miles Sanders, but a little more under the radar, actually was improving a lot more as the year went on. Four of his final five games, he cleared that 4 yards per carry mark. You know, Bears offense is not exactly the sexiest unit in the league, but, you know, we just need to look at these players. And, you know, the model I like to always use is we don't hate players. We hate average draft positions. We hate ADPs. And with Montgomery, I just think that, you know, people are, you know, just kind of, they remember being burned by him last year. And because of that, he's almost unfairly being pushed down the list relative to his projections. So, you know, doing these drafts, after you get out of the first 4 or 5 rounds, I mean, the running back groups are just so barren. So if you find yourself, you know, getting some of those baller wide receivers early, there's worse guys to get in round 4 or 5 than someone that's, you know, going to get 250-plus touches with good health.
Yeah, I mean, look, some of that, the Bears drive me insane. I did see the one joke saying that the Bears were happy that they passed on Pat Mahomes because they saved $400 million or $500 million when you add it all up. But, you know, when you go back to last year and watching the running back situation and they ended up starting, God, I'm even blanking on the vet that started for him last year. And you're watching,
Davis.
And then they and David Montgomery's sitting there and you're going, what the hell are they doing? And then Davis wasn't even on the roster after, what, week 4? And I mean, come on.
It was unreal, man. And we have my guy Cordarrelle Patterson even getting some touches in short yardage situations.
Yeah, I think I had David Montgomery in every league. And one of the odd things was I was really big on Mark Ingram and Montgomery, and they were kind of drafted right around the same spot last year. So there were some times where I'm going, which one do I take first? And then I kind of lucked out in some situations because I take Ingram first because we are in Baltimore if I thought somebody else was going to go that route. And then if Montgomery came back to me, then I might just double dip in those mid-tier rounds. But anyway, let's get to wide receivers because I think people all tend to stack these guys up a lot differently. What does Pro Football Focus see?
Yeah, so wide receivers, I think there's still a pretty clear top five that you kind of see around the industry. And Michael Thomas, you know, definitely deserves to be in that one spot. Devontae Adams just needs to be your number two receiver, I think. I mean, he has a legitimate chance of having a target total that starts with a 2 when this is all said and done. I mean, the Packers just refusing to add really any relevant receivers or tight ends this entire offseason. I mean, with all due respect to Devin Funches, I mean, this was a team that we were talking about adding, you know, multiple high-end draft picks potentially to the pass catching core, and that just didn't come to fruition. So,
hey,
really,
Ian, is that a double-edged sword though? Is it like, sorry to interrupt you, but like with a guy, when you know he's the guy, does he see more double teams? Does that concern you?
You know, it's part of it, and you know, I can say the same thing about Adam Thielen, even Allen Robinson, some of these guys in offenses where there's the clear cut wide receiver 1, but at the end of the day, just chase the volume. I mean, we see so few situations of guys getting, you know, 150-plus targets and just not returning high-end fantasy value. And, you know, you see how it is these days. Defenses are still guarding receivers in the slot with linebackers, like with a regularity. So it doesn't take as much to kind of get these guys free as you would imagine it would. It's definitely something to think about. And, you know, if you wanted to take Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, you know, ahead of Devontae, just because of that, you know, not the worst decision in the world just to kind of target the better overall offenses than, you know, the target hog on a worse team. So you should consider it. But I think with some of these guys, I mean, Devontae, like, I mean, this guy made Chad Johnson cry just from watching his routes in practice. So truly one of the more talented, I think, route running technicians in the league. I am more than confident that Devontae is, you know, more than capable of returning high-end value, even with the defense's full attention on him.
All right, what about rookies coming in this year? There were a lot of names, and I gotta ask you kind of the same question I asked you with running back. Second-year guys that could take a leap forward, because I don't know if you've seen the Hollywood Brown videos, and I know some people may look at this Ravens offense and say they're going to spread the ball out. He basically played on 1 foot last year and had 7 touchdowns. I'm unbelievably excited to see what he brings to the table. But give me your thoughts on rookies and maybe a couple of second-year guys.
Yeah, man, for him to do all that with a screw in the foot, I mean, looking like the fastest player on the field and the guy's not even close to 100%, just madness. But, I mean, the thing with these wide receivers and, you know, Hollywood's just in this situation where I'm just not sure if this Ravens offense is going to be able to enable multiple, you know, high-end fantasy pass catchers per week. So I think Mark Andrews is, you know, established as the number one guy there. So I'm a little higher on guys like Terry McLaurin just going this year too, because, you know, McLaurin, look, he's the guy in Washington. I know, you know, his splits when he had Case Keenum versus Haskins weren't great, but quite at the end of the year on quite the stretch. I think Washington, just because they didn't only really add Antonio Gibson, second-round pick, to the fold there, McLaurin has a great chance of just eating in that system. The other guy I have ranked just ahead of Marquise Brown is Diontae Johnson, because, again, like, if we had just go back and rank all the second-year receivers this year on pure talent, I mean, Hollywood, he has a case to be at the top of the list. But, you know, give me Diontae Johnson in an offense that we saw Roethlisberger feed both A.B. and Juju Smith-Schuster over 160 targets in 2018. You know, I'm just chasing that opportunity. And in terms of the rookies, I think this year more than ever with the lack of practice, lack of preseason reps, I mean, definitely take that, you know, rising second-year player and don't really think twice about it, because it's going to be hard for these rookies to get their roles. But with that said, I do see Henry Ruggs, I mean, the Raiders' first-round pick, being a guy that could rise up that depth chart quickly, because it was already an offense. I mean, Darren Waller was the, you know, kind of number one receiver in Oakland last year, and they added Jason Witten, which is still just weird to, you know, think about why they did that. But Ruggs, you know, getting the 12th overall pick, using it on the guy, just so much speed. We've seen these Gruden offenses in recent years, you know, really go through the tight ends, but that wasn't how it always was. I mean, those Tampa Bay offenses, Joey Galloway, Keyshawn Johnson, these guys are getting 140-plus targets per year, and that's even before his first stint with the Raiders when we had Tim Brown and even an elderly Jerry Rice balling out. So I think, you know, Gruden, some of the he kind of got some crap, but you look at their splits, like his first 15 plays of every single game were just balling. I don't think we've seen, you know, the ceiling of this Raiders offense yet, and they drafted Ruggs to be the guy, you know, in the number one pass catcher in there. So Henry Ruggs and maybe Jalen Reagor are the only rookie wide receivers I find myself going out of the way for. And again, that mostly just comes down to in their respective offenses, the depth chart is very slim. So even with, you know, this abbreviated offseason, I think they can rise up fairly quickly.
All right, last thing for Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. Tight ends, give me your take on how they stack up. I mean, the top two is pretty clear, and then it's how everybody else comes in after that.
Yeah, man, you said top two. I have Kittle over Kelce, just kind of thinking this could be the year where Kelce's, you know, four consecutive seasons at the PPR tight end one streak snaps. And it just has a lot to do with the Deebo Samuel injury. But either way, you know, that's your top two. After that, Mark Andrews coming in as the consensus tight end three. And, you know, he should be there because he's the only other guy I think that we should just definitively expect to lead their offense in targets. But with that said, after that top three, I mean, Zach Ertz, Evan Engram, Tyler Higbee, Gronk, Hunter Henry, all these guys have questions, and I just wouldn't be reaching on them in these middle rounds to go get your RBs and wide receivers. I mean, the Tyler Higbee discussion was just taken over fantasy football Twitter last week, and it's like, don't even concern yourself with that. Just wait a couple extra rounds. We got Noah Fant, Mike Gesicki, TJ Hawkinson, Hayden Hurst, one of my favorites, Chris Herndon, just guys that have a legit chance at being their offense's number two option. We know the athleticism's there, and they're all going just so much cheaper. So, hey, if you're in the draft and you can get Kittle, Kelce, or Andrews, that's great because you're getting a legit number one receiver. But, you know, kind of like QB, where if I'm not getting those guys, I'm not going to take many stabs at the mid-round dudes. I'm just going to wait late rounds, get a couple guys, talent should win out.
Good stuff, man. Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. It's at Hartitz, right, on Twitter.
You got it, man. Like Cheez-Its, but Harditz.
Yeah. Hey, man, appreciate your time. Great stuff as always, and hopefully we can get you back on down the line here, talk some more football.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.